So we're still on the same message, God as a friend. But today we're going to subtitle it, I am his friend. I am his friend. Now, last week, if I remember correctly, you'll correct me, we did Hebrews 3:5, correct? So this week, we're going to do the verse that the song comes from and the whole message comes from. We're going to go to John 15:15. So come with me. I'm going to give you a minute to get there. And this chapter 15 is a whole bunch of Jesus talking. If you got a red letter Bible, this is just Jesus, he's just going on a whole sermon, description, rant, diatribe, whatever you want to call it. He's just pouring it all out. And this is one of those verses where, I mean, one of those chapters where it's like, if you got a red letter Bible, it's all red. I mean, all red. But starting at verse 12, well, no, let's go back a verse before it. And I really want to go to the first verse, but I just want to go back to 11. Jesus has all these commandments to obey and remain in his love and all that. And then he says in verse 11, I have told you these things so that your joy and that my joy and my delight in you may be full. Let me read that again. I'm sorry. I have told you all these things that my joy and my delight in you may be full, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. So watch this. I've told you these things. I've told you these things so that my joy and my delight may be in you. And that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. So stop and look at me for a minute. And I want you to pay attention to this. God does things with you. Look, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. And he does things for you. Probably never paid attention to this before. Only what you do for Christ matters. Only you do for God last. God don't care nothing about what you're doing. Know nothing about your feelings. The only God cares about is what you do for him. I've heard that in church for a very long time. I'm sure some of you have too, right? Like God don't care nothing about you. You just do what he says. Well, here's what I just discovered as I studied this. God gets happy and has joy. There's things that God does that makes him happy. Oh, I thought God was just happy all the time. Well, I'm guessing he is, but there's things that brings him joy over other things. Wow. You saying you told me this so that you can have joy and delight in me. Wait a minute. God, you can have joy and delight in me? Oh, that goes against church stuff. I just thought God was this, solemn God that might smile sometime, but he's just God. He says, I don't have no emotions. I'm just God. I just run the universe. I don't get mad. I don't get happy. I'm just God. And then I think about, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Made in the image and likeness of. Oh, so you feel some things that I feel. So things get on your nerves. If you got nerves, things irritate you. That sounds different. Well, no, it's not if you read things that says, I'm a jealous God. Wow. But the scripture says jealousy is evil. No, the scripture says jealousy when you want something that somebody else has and you wish ill on them or feel bad because they got something and you wish it was yours. That kind of jealousy with envy and strife is different. But being jealous of your husband looking at some other woman, that's not evil. That's like, wait a minute. We have a commitment. You with me. What are you talking about? You understand what I'm saying? There's a balance to it. God's saying, you are mine. I'm yours. I'm committed to you in this relationship. I don't want to hear, I want to see other people. That's a different kind of jealousy, but it's still jealousy, isn't it? So when he says, I tell you these things so that I may have joy and delight in you, watch this, so that I may have joy and delight in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete to overflowing. I think this is a little bit, now I don't want to say it's backward, but I'm going to say if you turn it backward, it makes a little more sense. So, right, that your joy may be full and complete and overflowing, I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be full in you. Look at what I just did right there. So that your joy may be full and complete and overflowing, I have told you these things so that my joy will be full and my delight in you. So he's saying, I told you these things so that your joy may be full and overflowing, and then I will have delight seeing that your joy is full and overflowing. I don't know, Pastor, you twisting the word around. Oh, am I really? So wait a minute. So that scripture doesn't say he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants? That scripture don't exist? I'm telling you these things that I may be fulfilled with joy and delight seeing that you are. Can I get an amen or something on that? God is happy when you win. God is happy when you succeed. God is a proud father when you have the victory. Well, what about when I fail? Well, he's a pick you up father and lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And as long as you repent and get on track, he'll get you on track. If you really want to be on track, he ain't gonna let you be off track. But it's got to be you. You do know that, right? You know that, right? He don't force his will on you. It's got to be you, right? You got to desire it, right? You got to want it. You got to claim it. You got to take it. He ain't going to force it down your throat. So I tell you these things that you may be full, that you may be happy, and I can delight and have joy in the fact that, I don't want to over-explain this. Is there any part of this that you're not getting or not understanding? Okay, fine. So with that said, does what I say make sense to you or bear witness with your heart? So he says, after saying that, I've told you this, that I may delight and have joy, and that your joy will be made full and complete and overflowing. No, but God, sometimes what you got to, that your joy will be full, complete and overflowing. Yeah, but sometimes things are like, that your joy will be full and complete and overflowing. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go ahead and make a confession right now. Lord, whatever you need to do that my joy will be full and complete and overflowing, I want it. Let me try that again. Lord, I definitely want you to have delight and joy, and I want my joy to be full, complete, and overflowing. Say on, good Lord. Amen. So this is my commandment, that you love unselfishly, seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. For greater love, nor stronger commitment than it is that I laid down, or a man laid down his own life for his friends. Watch this. You are my friends. Watch this. Stop. Look at me. You are my friends. The whole I am a friend of God, he calls me friend. There's a part of that song that's missing. If you keep doing what I commanded you. So to answer Karen's question earlier, right? You give it back and then you do what he said, right? So you are my friend if you keep doing, well, I'm a friend of God. Yeah, that's cute. He calls you friend if you keep doing what he told you to do. This is the key to walking in that friendship. So when Lindsay says, and when Dr. Brown says, and you stay, and I watch you go through, but you just kept doing, and you, even in tears, you kept doing it, right? Because I don't want to not be called friend. And losing out on a thing or a position or something I think I want or should have is not worth me losing that friendship. It got a little quiet up in here. It got a little tight. Can I just get a little bit of amen or something up in here? I'm just saying, you know, aren't you in a situation where you end friendships if the people start doing stuff that goes against what your friendship entails? He's saying, this is what friendship is. I call you friends. He didn't say I stopped loving you, but the friendship level kicks in different. That I don't want to just be God's servant. I want to be God's friend. That means, watch this. My God. Okay, yes, Lord. Oh, my God. Help me hold it together. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. So there's two roles we can choose. To be a servant of God or to be his friend. So a friend is somebody that he feels he can confide in and he can talk to and he can share his heart and his concerns with. And I don't know about you, but I just feel so saying this. I want God to feel that he could cry on my shoulder if he needs to. That's crazy to say that. But oh my God, if I'm his friend and he's calling me his friend, that means he feels he can confide in me. That means he feels like he can trust me. That means he feels like he can honor the term. The terms of the relationship, that I'm gonna hold him down and I got his back. And no matter what the situation is. Yes, Lord. I want to be your friend. I want to be the one that you can talk to in the cool of the day when you have things on your heart. Whew. Amen. I think that we've confused saying I'm a friend of God with so God does stuff for me because I'm his friend. I'm a friend of God because whenever I call on him, he's there for me. But a friendship is reciprocal. And it's I can go to you, but you can also come to me. So when God said, offer $100,000, I was like, I don't want to do that. Nevertheless, I'm going to let the net down. I'm going to do it because you said so. God had somebody give me $300 that they owe me. Well, they owe me more than that, but they gave me $300. And I was at the skating ring, and God had me minister this lady. And then I was giving her to go skating. He said, pick up the money. I was like, for what? I don't need that to go to skating ring. I have a card and sort of thing. Pick up the money. I pick it and put it in my pocket. I know why I put it in my pocket. After I finished ministering to this woman who's not really close with me, we don't have a relationship like that, and sharing the word of God, sharing God said, take that money out your pocket and give it to her. And I was like, say what again? He said, take the money out your pocket and give it. I said, you mean like the $40 that's in my wallet? He said, no, the money I had you pick up off the nightstand. And, you know, I play with him like that. It's not like I was going to even fight with it or not do it, but it's like, You mean the $40? No, you know what I mean. Just because that's a friend and we can banter and we could play like that. And I said, all right. So then I just asked her. I said, God, she's not going to take it, is she? He said, no, she's not, because she's prideful. She thinks she's humble, but she's prideful. And I said, okay. And I said to her, if I tried to give you money, she just sat there and cried about how her car's falling apart and this is not working. And I said, if I offer you money right now, would you take it? Well, no, I said, no, God told me you wouldn't because you're prideful. You're sitting here crying about your problem, but then I'm going to offer you a solution. You're not going to take it. And she said, I'll try. I said, no, try. Because I gladly keep the money in my pocket. It's no problem for me to leave with it. Trust me. You're going to take it or you're not going to take it. And she said, I'll take it. And when I put it out of my pocket, like I had it folded so it was flat. So, or she could see it was a $100 bill. And she choked up on that. And then when she took it in her hand, she said, oh my God, there's more inside. As she, flip through it, and she just held it for a minute, like she really wrestled with it, and then she began to weep. And Nellie embraced her, and the other young lady at the table, they both embraced her and surrounded and hugged her, and she just like cried and let it out her system. And God said, and that's why you my dude. I heard that, and that's why you my dude. And Nellie would tell you, on our way to the skating rink that night, I said, we're not going to Wawa, and I'm not going to drop the young lady home that I usually drop. We're going to, as soon as it's over, I want us to head out and head straight back home. And as I was leaving the skating rink, the lady, she's a Caucasian, she said, are you going over to Wawa? And I said, no, I'm not going to Wawa. I'm headed straight out. She said, oh, I'm hungry. I'm going. And just before I can have any say so, don't you love when God does this? I said, all right, I'll go. I didn't have time to think about it. Why am I going with her? She's going to sit there and whine about her problems in life and all that, and why she talks about how good God is, and then she's going to tell you all these sad stories. And so I'm not the only person who knows people like that, right? So I was like, no, I'm just going to go home. And she said, well, I'm hungry, so I'm going. And before I can even think, I said, all right, I'll come. And I said, God, what are you doing here? And then and we were ordering our food and waiting for our food to come. She said, okay, I'm gonna get a hold of the table for us. Oh God, now I gotta sit with her. But God had a plan. And I ministered to her, and she said, I want to know how to have that relationship with God you have. I want to know how to do that. It's so hard, but I really want, no, I want what you have. I want that. And we sat there at that table with her to, what was it, 1 something in the morning, and it's sitting at a Wawa table. And we got out of skating at 10 o'clock, and we sat there at 1 o'clock in the morning at that table. And I'm telling you, as they were hugging her and she was crying and going through it, I sat back at the table and I felt this well of peace and pride come over me. I didn't want to get in the hug. I was having my moment. God said, and that's why you're my dude. And so I said, wow, we're up to the friend of God scripture this week. And you gave me an opportunity to experience what that means in reality. I'm going to wrap up now for the sake of time. We're going to pick this up next week. But I want you to know that God is looking for the opportunity to take joy and pleasure in the joy and pleasure that He pours on you. And that's in a friendship. So for us to have this dynamic, explosive year, we can't be servants. We got to be friends of God. We can't be unilateral friends. It has to go both ways. God has to be our friend. We have to be God's friend. I know right now some of you may be thinking, well, yeah, I need to check myself. Don't do that. All you have to do is say yes. All you got to do is, no, it's not. My point is, God just wants you to commit to it, and then He'll give you the tools you need to fulfill it. He works in you both to willing to do His good pleasure. So just say right now, God, I understand I'm your friend. I know the song, I'm a friend to God. But from this day forward, you are my friend. And I am your friend. And I thank you for the opportunity to have a friendship with you and to be what you've called me to be. I am not a servant. I am a friend. As long as I stay committed to what you call me to do and tell me to do, I stay true to our covenant. I am your friend, and I'm here for you whenever you need me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.